We left off by the Gemara yesterday, Yeralef and Menalef. There was a Shtar of Parsoa, a Shtar that was written in the Persian language. And the Gemara said that that's not a problem. The Gemara says on Yutes and Beit that doesn't pose a problem. That's Mishnah later on, that a Shtar is good in any language. The only issue over here was, it was a Shtar Halvoah. And the issue was whether the Malveh is entitled to collect from the Chosim Shubadim of the Lova, that is allowed to collect from the Chosim B'nei Chorin, Minei, Afilu Meglima Dal Kasvei. That's how the Rishonim quote in the name of Rabbi Natan. There are two Shnei Shibudim Heim. There's a Shibur Aguf and there's a Shibur Nechosim. If the Lova borrows money from the Malveh, so the Lova has to pay up the money, there's a Shibur Aguf. That's a Machlokes in the Gemara also. Is that so? Is there a Shibur Aguf? Or do you say no, not really? It's just Priyas Balchayim is a mitzvah. So that sheet, the Priyas Balchayim mitzvah, that's not the accepted opinion. We pask on la'alocha, the Gemara says, we pask on la'alocha that there is a Shibur Aguf. To that extent, we certainly hold that Shibur deraisa. The only machloikis that's left to be resolved, the machloikis in the Gemara, machloikis hatanayim, where the Shibur Nechosim is deraisa derabbanan. So that's, thank you, that's a big machloikis. What's a nafkamina halacha lemaisa, where the Shibur Nechosim is deraisa derabbanan? So the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Yud Gimel only has one nafkamina. What does it mean, Shibur Nechosim? Not only can you collect from the Loiva, you can even collect from the Yorshim. If the Loiva dies, you can collect from the Yorshim. They never borrowed the money. So that's based on Shibur Nechosim. If the Loiva died and he left over Karka, if he only left over Metaltalim, then the Gemara says, Metaltal Elias, Meloi Mishtab Dilabachot. You cannot be Koifa the Yisaimim. Even though they yarshin the metaltalim from the father, they can't be goyver the assignment to pay. But if the loiva died and left karka, so then you can be goyver from the karka. So the pashtus is that's based on shibur nechosim. Or if the loiva sells his karka to the lekuchas, that the malveh has the ability to collect from the lekuchas. The lekuchas never borrow the money, so they don't have a shibur aguf, but you still have the right to collect based on shibur nechosim. So what's the difference whether shibur deraisa, shibur lav deraisa? Bottom line, halacha lemaisa, you can collect from the nechosim am shibadim. So the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Yud Gimel only kvetches ois one afkamina la halacha. What if a woman had a baby and she has a lot of money and she died before she had an opportunity to bring the korban hayoledes? The yoledes has to bring an oil on a chatos. So the chatos you don't bring after death. That's a chatos shemesa baila. Ein kapor la mesim. The Gemara says you don't bring any chatos after death. The shaila is what about the olas hayoledes? So the older you can bring lachamisa. So the Gemara says that depends. If you hold shibur deraisa, that minat Torah, har nechosim am shibadim to pay up chayvus. So it doesn't make a difference whether the chayvus lashamayim, chayvus to bring a korban oila to the Beis Hamikdash, or the chayvus to a basar adam. So the nechosim of the yoledes, if she has her own assets, the nechosim of the yoledes became a shubid to bring this korban oila. And after she dies, we'll take from the Nechosim and buy a korban oila, and it'll be korav on behalf of the Yoledes. But if you hold Shibur Alav Deraisa, the whole ability to collect from the Nechosim Shibadim is a takana de Rabbanan, because we're concerned, because we're worried about, what does the Gemara say? We're worried if the whenever the Loiva will die, so the Malva won't be able to collect. So the Gemara says in Cain, so people will be afraid to lend money to someone else. So what are you going to say over here? That midirabbanan, we better bring the korban hayoledes after the yoledes died, because the Rabban Shalom will start giving women babies. Nah, the Rabban Shalom will give the babies even if they don't bring the korbanos. Look, this man is there's no Beis Hamikdash. This is already almost 2,000 years. The women have babies. So you see, there's no problem of nilas delas bifnei hayoldos. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the whole nafkamina the Gemara has. So it comes out that b'zman shein beis hamikdash kam, there's no nafkamina at all. There's no nafkamina at all. So why is there such a long arichas in the shach and simul ametes? But the first simon about the gviyas chayvus, simul ametes is the last simon in hilchas seidus. First you have hilchas dayonim, then you have hilchas seidus, then you have hilchas gviyas chayvus. So such a long arichas in the shach, and the shach comes to the final conclusion that it's a sveik eredina. But the Shibur Nechosim is the Raisa Drabbanan. The whole Nafkamina is only for Korban Hayoledes, Lacha Misa Hayoledes. That's Bizman HaMikdash. So they're showing him Kvetchois, another couple of Nafkaminas Ledina. Okay, so there are a few Nafkaminas Halocha Lamais. So this was a machlokes in the Gemara. This is a major machlokes of Rishonim, and the Shach says that there's no hachra. There's such a list of Rishonim on either side. There's no hachra. So what's the din normally when you have a milval peh? Milval peh means the malva comes and has two witnesses to testify that the loiva borrowed the money from him. So the loiva is not believed to say lo lavisi. He has two witnesses to say that he did borrow. But the loiva is believed to say paraiti. And number two, you cannot collect from the chosim mishubadim. If you have a milva bishtar, then both dinim change. Number one, the loiva is not believed to say paraiti because the malva is holding on to the shtar. So shtar chaviyodim, my boy. And number two, the malva does have the ability to collect from, even from the kuchas, from the chosim mishubadim. So here the Gemara has a din. A shtara parsa is only good to collect from the chosim and yichorin. It is not good to collect from the chosim mishubadim. So why is it good to collect from the chosim and yichorin? What is it? It's a shtar ha'ila be'arkoes. This was the shtar parsa, which was signed by goyim. This is a shtar ha'ila be'arkoes shal nochrim. The Rashi writes not so. The Chosmo Parsim had Yoita solo. It's not from the Arkois. Had Yoita signed it. What if you would have a Shtar Hoyle Barkois? Would you be able to collect? Would you be able to collect from the Chosim Shabbatim? They say the Shtar Hoyle Barkois Shal Nochrim. It's an umder in the Muchach that it's true. Because ilav diavi zuzi kamal havimar nafshayu the kasvi. So with the rabbana we say that the shtar is good. The shtar is good. You can collect from the chosim and echor, and the shtar is good. You collect from the chosim and shabadim. How good is the shtar? So that we found two girsas in the gemara and daf yutesam ebeis. So that's not what our gemara is talking about. Our gemara is talking about shtar behedyotis. So the shtar behedyotis is no good even from the chosim and echor. So where does he come up? How does the Gemara come up to make such a compromise that it's good from to collect from the chosim? The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a situation where the shtar was handed over by the loiva to the malva in the presence of Edim Esirim. So therefore what? Does it have anything to do with Edim Esirim Karsi? No, it has nothing to do with Edim Esirim Karsi. If the two Edim don't know how to read Persian, so they don't understand b'chlal what happened. So they don't know what's going on. If the two Edim, the Gemara says, if they know how to read Persian, b'diyadi, they know how to read Persian. So they read it, and then they see the way the loiva hands it over to the malva in their presence. Says, come and watch when I'm giving over the shtar. So they realize he just made a hadoas baldin, that he owes the money. So hadoas baldin, k'me Edim dami. So of course he has to pay back. So that's a milval pet. He made a hadoas baldin, that he owes money. That has the status of milval peh, but it doesn't have the status of a milval bishtar. So the Gemara says that in this situation, you can only collect from the chosim b'nei chorin, you cannot collect from the chosim mishubadim. So here, Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis presented a machlokes harishonim, how to read the Mishnah on pei vav. Where was the Mishnah? Gimel gitim psulim, this is avlad kosher, on pei vav and aleph. So the Mishnah says, Rav Lazar's opinion is, Edim is Sira Karasi, Afal Pishain, all of Edim and all, not like Rav Meir, that you always need Edi Chasima on any Shtar Kinyan. Rav Lazar says, you don't need Edi Chasima on a Shtar Kinyan. Eldashen, the son of Allah, Bifnei Edim, if you gave a get to the Isha in the presence of Edim Sira Kosher, then it adds on, the Goyve, Minachasim, Shabbatim. What does it mean? So Rashi had the two Pshatim, Goyve, Minachasim, Shabbatim. The woman is now a grusha, and the grusha has a right to collect her ksuba from the chosim mishubadim because at the time she got married, there was a ksuba. Or at the time she got married, there was a tanait bezin, there was a takana satanayim that she's entitled to collect. But not, the get itself is not, the get shows that she's mugureshes, and the meilah she's allowed to collect. Hotzia get veinim o ksuba, go from the chosim mishubadim. That's what it means. The woman now has a right to collect the ksuba from the chosim mishabadim because she just produced the get. Or should you read the Mishnah as two different statements? Aval pishen olavedim elushana sonal bifneidim kosher semicolon. That's one din. That a get is a shtar kinyan and edi misira karsi bashtar kinyan. And then there's another din that the shtar halvoa to enable the malva to collect nechas mishabadim is also a shtar kinyan. The goyvim and nechas mishabadim, if the loiva will give a shtar halvoa to the malva, which has no edi hasim at all, but it has edi mesira. So we'll say edi mesira karsi to enable the malva to collect from the nechas mishabadim. So this is a fundamental machlokes harishayim. What's the nature of this halacha that if the malva has a shtar halvor from the loiva, this enables him to collect from the nechas mishabadim? Isn't that the shtar is a shtar kinyan, just like karka is niknis bishtar, so to shibin nechasim is a kinyan b'miktzas, is a kinyan lachatzoyin. That's the expression that the Ridvo has in Kiddushan and Daf Yud Gimel on that sugya. When the Gemara has that presents the machlokes hamaroyim, whether shibin nechasim is the rice of the Rabbanan, so the Ritvo has that expression. And the Nesivis writes like that as well in Hilchas Malva Valoiva, that shibin nechasim is a kinyan lachatzoyin. So just like karka is niknis bishtar, so to shibin nechasim on karka is also niknis bishtar. So the shtar halva that the loiva gives the malva serves as a shtar kinyan. The bikoin a kinya b'miktzas in the karka. That's the story. Or should we say no? That a shtar halvoa is a shtar raya. It's not a shtar kinyan. As a shtar raya, of course, you have to have edi chasima. If you only have edi mesirin, you don't have edi chasima. So it's no good as a shtar raya. So the Mishnah is not talking goyvim and achasib shabadim. If the loiva gave a shtar to the malva in the presence of edi chasim, in the presence of edi mesirin. No. In order to collect from the chasim shabadim, the malva has to have a shtar that has eri chasima, has to have a shtar raya. And the Mishnah means the woman who has a get, go vom in the chasim mishabot. Otzir get, veini moksiba, go vom in the chasim mishabot. So this is a fundamental machlokes harishayim. These are the 2 days in the Tosfos on Gimlam and Beis. We mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda's son has a collection of tshuvas that's called Shivas Tzion. Shavas tshuva, Shivas Tzion. Now they sell it as the chela gimel of the Rabbi Yehuda. When they sell you a set of Rabbi Yehuda, so instead of just selling aleph and beis, Madura Kama, Madura Tinyana, they'll sell you Gimel also. Not for the same price as two. They'll charge more money. So the Shiva Sion, the son of Nadav Yehuda, points out that there's a Tosfos on Daf Chof on the base where Tosfos writes Beferish that Shtar Halvoa is a Shtar Raya, not a Shtar Kinyan. The Gemara there on Chof on the base, next to the last line on the Yomud, quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. That's the Haftarah Parshas Bahar. The pasuk says that Yirmiyah was commanded as a Hirashah to buy the field from his cousin in the city Anassos. The Babylonian soldiers were about to capture the whole Eretz Yisrael. The whole Jewish government was about to collapse. And the real estate was worthless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yirmiyah Navi he should buy the real estate from his cousin. He doesn't understand. It's absolutely worthless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to him, this is a simon that the Golus bubble will only be temporary, it'll only last for 70 years, and after the Golus bubble, all the Jews will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and you will be able to produce this shtar, you'll be able to get back this karka. You may not live so long, your children, your grandchildren will be able to get back this karka. Now, don't think that all is lost. The Golus bubble is only going to be temporary, and everybody's going to return in 70 years. They were told in advance, it's only going to be 70 years. So he was told he should fill out two different shtaris, a get poshut and a get mekushar, and it says ba'ekach has sefer hamikne, and his cousin was selling him the field. He paid money for it, so it says I took the sefer hamikne, the shtar kinyan, from my cousin. So sefer hamikne, sefer in this context means a shtar, and sefer hamikne means a shtar kinyan. A karka is niknas bekesef or b'shtar or b'chazaka. So he was kind of the karka al yidei shtar. That's the pasuk shot. So the Gemara darshins the pasuk in Yirmiyah as if it were written sefer hamakne, that the piece of paper on which the shtar is written has to belong to the makne. The makne over here is the cousin of Yirmiyah Hanavi, who's selling the field to Yirmiyah. The cousin needs money. He ran out of money, so he's selling his field. So the Gemara establishes a din from this pasuk: when a man gives a get to his wife, the piece of paper has to belong to the husband, and when he gives it to the isha, it has to be makna, the piece of paper, to the wife. And the same is true in any shtar kinyan. So Tosfos comes up with a chiddush that we distinguish between a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. Only by shtar kinyan is there such a requirement that the piece of paper should belong to the makne, to the husband who's giving the get, or to the chasen who's giving the shtar kiddushin to the isha, or to the cousin who's giving the shtar kinyan to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. The makne, the one is transferring ownership of the karka. But in the shtar raya, Taisis claims a svara. They claim it's not a svara. There's no need for a sefer hamakne, that the piece of paper should belong, let's say, I already sold you a field. It already belongs to you. You already paid for it. You already made a kinya chazok, you made a kinya kes, you made a kinya chalipin, and you would like to have a shtar just a raya bi'alma, not le kinya. So then Taisis says, whenever the shtar is only written as a shtar raya, then there's no requirement for sefer hamakne. The piece of paper does not have to belong to the previous owner and him be makne to the other party, as long as it just gives a raya. Why is there a difference? Apparently, Taisis holds by a shtar raya. Every shtar you have to have tvisas hashtar. So you have to do mesiras hashtar, tvisas hashtar. So Taisis understands by shtar raya, the fact that I give a raya to the other party has an erech hasima on it. The fact that he now has a raya tachas yadai, that causes the shtar to function. So there's no requirement that the piece of paper should belong to me in advance, even if it belongs to him. If I get the edim to sign a document on his piece of paper, so be it. So that's a shtar raya. That's great. The only time you need haknoas haniyar is when you're not being moiser any raya to the other party. You're making a shtar kinyan that doesn't serve as a shtar raya at all. So then Allah requires that the piece of paper, the background upon which the shtar is being written, should belong to the makna, and he should be makna at all. He should give over the ownership to the other party. So that's what Tosis writes on Chaf Amud Beis. A chiddush, okay. It's an interesting chiddush that they did in the Gemara, that they learned out from this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that whenever there's a shtar, you require sefer hamakna, the piece of paper should belong to the das hamischayev. Das HaMeschayev is always the one who authorizes the writing of the shtar. He gives it over to the Das Makna. He gives it over to the Balashtar, because just the terms. Das HaMeschayev is the one who has to authorize the writing of the shtar, and he gives it over to the Balashtar. Tvisas Balashtar is what makes the shtar function. So Tosfos says that this requirement of Sefer HaMakna only applies to shtar kinyan, doesn't apply to shtar raya. Then Tosfos assumes a davar pashut, that a shtar halvoa is a shtar raya. And therefore this din of Sefer HaMakna doesn't apply. So the Shiva Sion just points out that whereas on Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos had the two opinions, when you get to Chof Amud Beis, Tosfos only has the one opinion. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman also pointed this out. They quote in the Kovet Shiurim, Rabbi Chanan also pointed out that on Chof Amud Beis, Tosfos doesn't have two opinions. And on Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos keeps on going back and forth with the two opinions. So the question is, if Tosfos has two opinions, so how do you read this Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph? The Gemara says there was a shtar parsa that was handed over in the presence of Edom Misira. The Gemara says you don't collect from the Chosim Shabbatim. Why don't you collect? Taisa just said that it's beferish in the Gemara. Taisa said if you look in the Gemara Pevavam and Beis, the Gemara learns the Mishnah beferish on Pevavam and Aleph. The Gemara on Beis translates the words in the Mishnah on Pevavam and Aleph. The Rab Laza Tarti Kamar. He said two things. He said not only by Get Isha, Edom Misira Karasi, he says beferish even by Shtori Havoa. He says beferish Edom Misira Karasi. He's talking about Shtori Havoa. That's how the Gemara says. So you see that if you have Edom Misira, you do collect, even though the Noedi Hasim at all. The Gemara says that you do collect from the Chasim Shabbatim. So how come over here there were Edom Misira? So why does the Gemara say that he can only collect from the Chasim and Echer? So Tosfos says from this Gemara, the Gemara says the reason why is because Leis Lekola. And for the Gemara, Leis Lekola. The reason why I can't collect, why is Leis Lekola? What does that mean? So Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis quotes the Rashi over here, that the only way to collect is if you have Eidich Hasima Yisraelim. If you don't have Eidich Hasima Yisraelim, then it's Leis Lekola. So how is it possible to have 2 days in Tosfos? So the Ferishi Gemara, you have to have Eidich Hasima Yisraelim. Just relying on Eidim Asira is no good. How is there a way to read this Gemara in an alternate fashion? So Lechora, yesterday, we read the answer, and the Tosfos on Yud Amud Beis, Dibra Mascha Chaspa Bialma. So why did the Gemara think that it's Chaspa Bialma? So Tosfos says, V'yamari, that there's a din of Mezuyef Mitoicha by Chosmei HaMakum, not only by Gitei Noshim. The Gemara on Tosfos Amud Beis assumes that din of mezuyif mitoicha of chosmei hamakum is only agzera derabbanan, and was only instituted by get isha and by shtar sheikh rabbi knadi. Was never instituted by shtari mamim. So we said in chosh mishpat they work on the kasha that the gemara in sanhedrin daf chav ches talks about mezuyif mitoicha even by shtari mamim. So we mentioned that the achredim of chosh mishpat say a difference between chosmei hamakum and chosmei hamkroyim. But the Tosfos over here on Yudam and Beis learns that this Gemara on Yudam and Beis contradicts the Gemara before Cholak on the Gemara Tesam and Beis. This Gemara is the Kasha Chaspa Bialmahu means that Mizuif Mitoicha by Chosmei Makum is not restricted only to get the Isha, even applies to Shtari Mammon as well. So this Gemara is also the same thing. The Gemara here is talking like this: if I would have given over a Shtari Parso in the presence of Eidim Mesira Yisraelim, he would have been able to collect from the Chosim Shabbat. Would have been Islay Kol, it would be good. But it's Chosmei HaMakum, so I say Mizuif Mitoichai. So Mizuif Mitoichai passels it even Bishar Shtoris. That's the Gzera de Rabbanon. That's the Gzera de Rabbanon. Why do you collect from the Chosmei Nichorin? He made a Haiduas Baldin. The Loiva gave the Shtar Halvoa to the Malva in the presence of two witnesses. He says, look, read it and you know what's going on. So they read Persian, Bidiyad de Lemikri. They read it and he gave it over, so we say that it's good. It's a Haiduas Baldin. It's not that it's good Bitar Shtar. The whole shtar is possible because mizuif mitoichai, but it's good. But there is hardoas baldin. But to collect from the chasim shabadim, so that's not good enough if it's just milvah peh. So for that you have to have a milvah b'shtar. So milvah b'shtar it isn't. That's apparently how the other rishonim will read shot in this gemara. Otherwise, how is the shach to have two opinions in the Tosfos on gimel and beis? So l'chora that's the alternative shot, that the reason why you cannot collect from the chasim shabadim is because it's mizuif mitoichai, which is a din midrabbanan, and chosmei hamakum passels not only by get isha, it even passels by shtori mamin midrabbanan.
That's not mashma like that. The Gemara says because less
they call. Less they call. That's the question. Not mashma like that at all. So what does it mean less they call? So what does it mean less they call? So the other pshat in Tosfos was that a shtar halva to collect from the chosim mishabadim has to serve, has to be a shtar raya. Also doesn't fit into the words. Leis
leikol. It's not a raya. If it doesn't have a kol, then it's not a raya.
If it's not a raya, then it doesn't have a kol. Okay. So the one shot fits into the words better than the other. Okay. That's what Tesa says there, that Rashi on this Gemara learns one way. But apparently there is an alternate way to read the Gemara. Okay. What does the Gemara say? Babinon, the Gemara says, Vahabinon, Ksav Sheni Yochel Uzayev. Ksav Sheni Yochel Uzayev is only a din in Shtari Raya. It's not a din in Shtari Kinyan. There's a Mishnah later. The Ksav, if a get is written on Ksav Sheyochel Uzayev, so it's a machlek, as the Gemara said before, it's machlek Zav Meir and Rabbi Loza. If you all like Rabbi Meir, they're ready, Chasim Akarsi, has to be a Shtari Raya. Ksav Sheyochel Uzayev is no good. If you hold like Rab Lazar, so then there's no problem. So here, the Gemara says you only collect from the Chosim and Echorin. You don't collect from the Chosim and Shabbat. Why do you collect from the Chosim and Echorin? Because he just made a Haiduas Baldin. The Loibi gives over the Shtar in the presence of the two Edom to the Malva. And he says, you see what it says? Are you watching? You know what's going on here? And they read Persian and they read it. So there's Haiduas Baldin. So what's the problem over here, what the Gemara says? Why didn't he Ksav Sheni Yochel Uzayev? Very strange. Tosfos throws in over here, it's a machlekes Rabbi Lozer, the Amoira, Rabbi Lozer, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Davcha, Beis, Amibes. What has it got to do with machlekes Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yechanan? It's a different machlekes. Over here we're just talking about a Haiduas Baldin. The Loiva made a Haiduas Baldin by giving over the Shtar in the presence of two Edom. So why shouldn't it be a Haiduas Baldin even if it's Ksav Sheyochel his dive? Very difficult line in the Gemara. Same thing. Tzoch shiach zminyon shol shtar b'shita achreina. What kind of a din is that? Tzoch shiach zminyon shol shtar b'shita achreina. The Gemara says normally when you write a shtar, so you leave a little space before the eidim. You don't need the same amount of space. You leave extra space. The sefer is an expert. He knows how to write small letters, but the signatures are going to be big and sloppy, like people sign on a check. So you have to leave empty. You have to leave extra space for the witness, for the top witness. To sign his name. So if you're going to leave extra space, what are you going to do? If the top witness signed his name in a... some people sign their signatures in a very tiny handwriting, and other people sign in John Hancock. look on the Declaration of Independence. John Hancock signed it in big letters, and some of the others signed in tiny letters. So the Gemara has a concern, if you left a big space, because they thought John Hancock was going to write in big letters, and then the fellow signed in little letters, so one is holding on to the shtak can always add something on the last line. And he also promised to give me $100 million on the same day that he pays the above debt. So how can you ever rely on any shtar, on anything that it says on the last line of the shtar? Maybe he left out an extra line. You're not allowed to leave too many lines, but you leave an extra line before the chasim. So Gemara says, that's why the rabbis instituted it in, that ein lemeidem ishita achreinu. You can never learn anything from the last line in the shtar if it's going to say something that didn't appear previously. Unless it's going to say the same thing as it says before. Usually in the Shita Achreinu and the Shtar, it's just filibuster, just wastes a lot of space. Like in a, either you write Kedas Moshe Yisrael, or you write V'Hakol Shor V'Kayim, which is nothing. It doesn't say anything then the last line. It's irrelevant. But if you have something, let's say sometimes they have these fancy ksubis and the sofer made a mistake and he put the wrong name in. So you're not going to throw it out and get another ksubis. They spend hundreds of dollars on this fancy calligraphy. So you want to cross out the name, they put in an extra name, or they're missing a name, so you correct it. But if you correct something, so you have to make a kiyum. So if you make the kiyum in the last line, so that's the last, you're going to squeeze it in between Hakol Shor V'Kayam and the signature of the Eidim. So what good is that? That Allah Ha'ilam made the Mishit Achreina. That's something new that wasn't there before, that you crossed out, we're going to write. We crossed out the name Shmuel from the fourth line and from the tenth line. See, you're writing something important to change the text of the ksuba, and you're writing it in the Shita Achreina. So that's no good. That's exactly this day. Elamein the Mishita Achreina. So this is problematic. What does the Gemara ask over here? So Achshay Yachsim in the Shal Shtar B'Shita Achreina. The Gemara says Ben Mahader. This Persian Shtar does have in the Shita Achreina. It says Hakol Shor V'Kayim, or just repeats everything that it says previously. What do you need? Why do you need Tzach Sheyachsim in Yon Shal Shtar B'Shit Achreina? We're not using the Shtar as anything. We're just using it as the way to indicate that there's a Haidos Baldin, that he owes money over here. So why do you require that it should be Ksav Shein Yochel his Daif, and that it should be B'Mahadir, that it should be Tzach Sheyachsim in Yon Shal Shtar B'Shit Achreina? This is a Pella. That's what Taisus asks. But we don't understand what Taisus answered. Taisus says, oh, this is based on Rab Loza Leidem, Achleiz Rab Loza Rabbi Yechanan. Very questionable if that has anything to do with the Rav Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara is assuming that the Shtar Parso was written on parchment. So the Gemara assumes that parchment will always be Ksav Sheyochol Lizayev. You can always erase it and rewrite something there, unless the hide of the animal was treated with Afitzon, with the gallnut juice, and then it converted it into parchment. So that parchment that was treated with me'afotzim, that's any ochel his diet. So Tosis says, what about all the shtoris bizman hazeh? Apparently, in the days of the Balei HaTosis, they used to write shtoris on parchment, and the parchment was never treated with gallnut juice. They didn't use me'afotzim. And the same thing the Gemara says, you have to write Sefer Tefillin and Mezuzah on parchment, on hide that was treated with me'afotzim, and that what converted it into parchment. So Taisha says about Bezman HaZeh, nobody does it with me'afotzim. No Meshuggah does it like that. They have a different way of treating the stuff. So you're going to say that all the Shtoris are Yochel HaHizdaif and all the Sefer Torah are going to be Pasul, because the Gemara says that the only way to treat is afotzim. So he said it's not true. The Gemara didn't say the only way to convert hide into parchment is afotzim. And they quoted Beferish Gemara Menachos, where it says hodei afitzon, hodei afitzon. So you see Beferish in the Gemara that it's a gemalt. There's a possibility that you have a sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah that had an ibud without me'afotzim, without gallnut juice. So that's what Tosfos says. That b'zman is that we have a different kind of a different chemical form of ibud that converts the hide into parchment and that prevents the possibility of ziyufim, ksav sheni yochel lizdaif, and it's good enough if the Sefer Torah has its status of klaf, because it is ma'ubad.
there a problem with the Sefer Torah being Yechaliv Daifa?
No, that's not a problem. So that's raising two different questions, Bevasachas. That the Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Aleph says that Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah has to be Klaf Me'ubot. And how do you do Ibud with Me'afotzim? And here the Gemara says that a Shtar Raya has to be Eni Yochel Lezayev. And how do you make it Eni Yochel Lezayev? By using Me'afotzim. The Gemara says Me'afotzim accomplishes two unrelated things, two different things. For Shtar it makes it that it's Eni Yochel Lezayev, and by Sefer Torah it makes it that it's Me'ubot. So the Esker Kasha, but we don't use Me'afotzim anymore for the Ibud, we use something else. So how are the Shtaris any good, and how is the Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah any good? So that's what they answer. There's no halacha that you need Dafka Afotzim. And they say it's Beferish and Gemara Menachos. We don't have a Beferish and Gemara by Shtaris that it would be good. Agmar says if you didn't use Me'afotzim, so it's Yochel Lezayev. But Tyson said just like by Sefer Torah, you can accomplish Ibud without Me'afotzim. So too, you can make the parchment into any Yochel Lezayev with a different Ibud. It doesn't necessarily have to be Dafka with Me'afotzim. The question is, in the days of the Baalei Tos, you used to use some kind of Sid. Some kind of a very sharp seed. What about Bizman Hazeh? If you go to a tannery, they can use chemicals. They don't even need the seed. So would that be acceptable? Why not? If the Baalei HaTos say that they changed it from the days of the Gemara, so why can't we change it from the days of Baalei HaTos? No, that's etched in stone. You see that what it says in the Gemara is not etched in stone. So why is what the Baalei HaTos say, why is that etched in stone? So the Poskim are afraid to allow it because reform. If you're going to allow any changes in the practice, so who knows what's going to be tomorrow? You can never tell what's going to be tomorrow. Some of the Poskim came up with a new einfach, that the chemicals that they throw in, maybe they put in non-kosher ingredients in the chemicals. And the Gemara has it in that the Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah has to be written on hide from a kosher animal. The Gemara by Mem Adlikin learns it after the Pasuk, L'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha, min amuta b'ficha. So some of the Pasukim say, we don't know, the chemicals that they throw in, maybe the trefi chemicals. It was as if the trefi chemicals, but the parchment comes from a kosher animal. There's no such halacha that the chemicals have to be kosher. The chemicals that you use can be trefi. If they're Isuri Hanoah, so you're getting Hanoah from it. But if it's not Isuri Hanoah, why should it be Basa B'chola? Why should it be Orlo? If it's trefi Basa B'chilo, so that doesn't pose a problem. The only halacha is if the Sefer Torah itself is written on parchment from a non-kosher animal. Parchment from a non-kosher animal is not treif. Parchment, the prohibition about besar be'emet tameo only applies to the basa. It doesn't apply to the or, gidin, atzomis, karnayim, atlofim. It doesn't apply to those parts of the animal that are not roi lachila. So the hide of the animal, of a non-kosher animal, is not really non-kosher. It's a separate halacha. You need or behemet Torah. You're not allowed to write on or behemet Tmei, but it's not halacha that has to be kosher as opposed to non-kosher. Let's say the animal was in the veil or trefa. It's non-kosher. But the hide is not affected by that. So that's not a problem if it's trefa. So what are they saying? We're afraid some of the chemicals will be trefa. What do you care if the chemicals are trefa? But you're not writing the Sefer Torah on a hide of a non-kosher animal. So the Pashtuses are just like, strictly speaking, just like the practice changed from the days of the Gemara to the days of the Baalei HaTos, so it can change today also. There's no halacha mashe misina, how to do the Ibud. The Ibud just has to be Lishma. That's a Gemara later in Gittin. The Ibud of Sefer Torah has to be Lishma. Gemara tells a story, a Sefer sold the Sefer Torah, and then he comes and he says that the Sefer Torah Shemachar Tilacha, he did all of the Ibud Shalo Lishma. Is he believed or not? He doesn't have the Sefer Torah anymore. He wrote the Sefer Torah and he sold it to a customer. And then he comes later on and he says, he did the Ibud Shalo Lishma. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. When do you apply it Echad and Misurim? When not? Is he believed to say that the Sefer Torah was possible? Okay. Then the Gemara has some details over here, the top of Yud Aleph from the base. If a shtar is sent from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael and it has Goyish names, it looks like it has Goyish names signed on the bottom. So all the Jews in Chutz L'Aretz have Goyish names, the Gemara says. Rov Yisrael she b'Chutz L'Aretz. Most of the Jews in Chutz L'Aretz shmaseim kishmos of the kachavim. There's a rabbi who had a campaign for years that we should all adopt Jewish names. So he was trying to convince Dr. Lam that he should use his name Nochum instead of Norman Lam. He's going to pay for his new stationery, and I'll pay for everything to change over. Dr. Lehm didn't go for it. Dr. Lehm follows the Gemara. The Tosefta says that most of the Jews in Chutzlars have Goyish names. But Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish lived in Eretz Yisrael. So most of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, at least in the days of Rabbi Yechon Mishlokish, did not have Goyish names. So that's what the Gemara said. You have a Goyish name, maybe you have to be concerned that maybe it was a Goy who signed, and maybe it's going to be Mizuif Mitocho. Okay. All Asik. Yeah. What's the next Mishnah? Yud Aleph and Beis. The din of Zochel Yadam Shalad Bifonim. What is the original din of Zochel Yadam Shalad Bifonim? So the first Mishnah that has the halach of Zochel Yadam Shalad Bifonim appears in Erevin, of all places. Mishnah in Erevin says, if you have an chotzer that has a mechitza around it, let's say 100 tenants live in an apartment building, and they all use all the floors, they all use all of the hallways in common. So min ha-Torah, it's all one big Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't make a difference that one family lives here, a different family lives there. But Midrabbanan, the Gemara says, this was a Takana Shleim HaMelech, that you're not allowed to carry in the hallways unless they make an Erev HaTzer. So what's the definition of Erev HaTzer? So let's say the 100 families are Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, and 99 of the 100 families have to leave a Pas Shleima, they have to leave a Challah, a shlema, not a prusa, in the home of the one person. The one person lives there. He doesn't have to leave a pas shlema because he lives in his home. The other 99 have to leave a pas shlema, so since they left some food there, so it's considered as if they all live in his home. So you got to have 99 chalas. He has to have a big, gigantic bag to keep all these chalas. And the Mishnah says, a way to streamline it is, let one of the 99 tenants, there's a maximum of how many of each. What's the minimum size that each challah has to be? Let's say you have a soup nut. A soup nut is also a challah, but it's very small. A crouton. So is that good enough? A crouton has to be shleima. Croutons are prusa. You have croutons, you have soup nuts that are shleimas. So is that acceptable? So the Gemara says no. You have to have a minimum size of a grogeris. So how many? Do you have to have 99 people have to leave? Each one has to leave a grogeris. So the Mishnah says, till the maximum of 18 gregris, of 6 beitzen, of 6 beitzen. So the so once you have 18 gregris, that even if you have 99 tenants, you don't need 99 gregris. It's enough with the 18 gregris, and everybody has a shutzvus. So the Mishnah says, instead of, you can make everything easier, instead of each of the 99 families baking a special challah on Erev Shabbos and giving it, leaving it in the home of the one of the 100th family, let one person go to the store and buy a big box of matzahs, buy a couple of challahs that have a minimum of 18 gregris in it, and he'll buy it from the store and he'll pick it up and he'll say, I want to be zeicha, zochel liyadam shalai b'fonu, I want to be zeicha this challah, a shutfus, so all the 99 Shomer Shabbos will live in the building. If I already bought the challah from the store, my wife baked the challahs, and it's already mine, and then I pick it up and I say, I want to be koina. So the Mishnah says, Eiranam zechal de atzma. That's not called zechal adam shalav fana. You have to give it to someone other than yourself. If I pick it up myself, not. But if I go to the store, and I buy it, I tell the storekeeper, I want to buy this, not for myself, I want to buy it, I'm here for the Shomer Shabbos who live in my building. That's a little much. Everybody's standing in line in the bakery, and I'm going to give a whole drasha to the lady who's selling the challah. Says, Ms. Tama, it's going to be too complicated. She's not going to know what I'm talking about. So it's not going to work. So I have to buy the challah, take it home, and give it to the next door neighbor. So the next door neighbor picks it up. It says he picked. The next door neighbor picks it up. Magbi atefach. Even though usually Rashi sheet is that hagbah has to be 3 tefachim. So here Taisus says that Rashi would be murdered, that hagbah tefach would be sufficient. That's a discussion Taisus has later in the Masechta. By Erev Echatzeres, the Gemara says, Magdia Tefach Magabi Karka, that's sufficient. So the next neighbor picks it up, and you apply the rule of Zachon Yodim Shalai B'Fana. Why? Because you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. I can't do the next neighbor, I can't do the other people a favor and make an Erev Echatzeres and make an Erev Echumen for them. Let's say this is the city, and this the city is over here, and the Echumen of all the people who live in the city is like this, rectangular shape. So let's say I want to travel to the east. So I'll make an Erev Etchumen to enable me to go further to the east. Once you make an Erev Etchumen to go further to the east, so you lost out, Masha, what you marviach to the east, you maps it to the west, so you can't go to the west. So you can't make an Erev Etchumen on behalf of other people without consulting them in advance. Who says they want to go to the east? I want to go to these because there's a chazan. The other guy runs away when he hears there's a chazan. He dives in a different shul. He doesn't want to go to hear the chazan. There's a bar mitzvah there. It's my cousin. I have no prayer. I have to go to the bar mitzvah. It's not the other guy's cousin. He doesn't want to go. So the Mishnah says you can't make an erev etchumen for someone else without him authorizing. Who says that he wants to be marviach to the east and be mafsid to the west? But in erev chatzeres, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. What do you have to lose over there? You make an erev chatzeres, you're allowed to carry in all the hallways. You don't make an erev chatzeres, so you can't carry. So it just makes life easier. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So the Mishnah gives that example. You can make an erev chatzeres without consulting the person. This din of zochen liodem shloi befonav. This is a din deraisa. This is a takana derabbanu. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. And in Mishnah, in the end of Bava Basra, there is a machlekes hatanoim, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. But so there should only be two shitas, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. So the Gemara has two versions of what the machlekes is between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. So there are two tanaim with three different shitas. So one sheet is a zochen liodem shloi befonav only works for on behalf of a katan. One sheet is zochen liodem shloi befonav only works on behalf of a gadol, passed by mitzvah. And the accepted opinion is zochen bein lekatan bein legadol. Zochen liodem shloi befonav works for either gadol or for a katan. The opinion that it works only for a katan and doesn't work for a gadol. Why in the world should it be so? So the Mefarshim, the Rashbam explains, Pashup Shat and the Mishnah, the whole din of zochen liodem shloi befonav, that Tana thinks only a takana de rabbana. And they only made the takana on behalf of a katan who can't take care of himself. So the midirabbanan made a takana. Everyone should be serve as a good Samaritan and step in and try to help out for the katan. But for a gadol, let him show up. Someone wants to give him a gift, so let him show up and let him be kind in the matana on his own. There's no need to make a takana for the gadol. He can take care of himself. There's only need to make takana for the katan. So that opinion in the Tanaim holds that the whole institution of zochen liodem shloi befonav only works midirabbanan. The other opinion in Tanaim, you can't tell. The one Tana holds just the reverse. Zochen only works for Gadol, doesn't work for a Katan. So the Gemara never explains why, but the Taisvus in Ezel Neshech talks so much about Zechi on behalf of a Katan, whether it works for a term of the Rabbanon. So Taisvus obviously is assuming that Zochen on behalf of a Gadol works for a term. Zochen on behalf of a Katan, there are two Girsas in the Gemara in Ezel Neshech. How does it come up in Ezel Neshech? The Gemara is talking about Zechiah on behalf of a Nochri. I want to give a gift to the Nochri who's not here. So I give you the gift, you should be coming on behalf of the Nochri. So the Gemara says, just like if the Nochri would have appointed you as a Shaliach, and Shlichus LeNochri, so too if he didn't appoint you as a Shaliach, and we want to employ the principle of Zochen Yodim Shalai Yifonov, so just like Shlichus doesn't work for the Nochri, so Zechiah doesn't work either. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that Zechiah is a form of shlichus. So the Gemara says, so what about a katan? Just like a katan cannot appoint a shlich to act on his behalf, ain't shlichus le katan. So we ought to say, ain't zechiyah avur katan. So that's al pi pash, that's what one tana holds. That's exactly one tana holds like that. Zechiyah only works on behalf of a gadol. Zechiyah does not work on behalf of a katan because zechiyah is a form of shlichus. And just like by akum, labene shlichus. Ain't shlichus l'nochri, so there's no schia on behalf of menachri. So for cotton also, just like there's no shlich for the cotton, there's no schia for the cotton. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, the third opinion there in Bava Basra, that just there is schia both for a gadol and for a cotton. So the Gemara in Ezel Neshech has two girsas. The Gemara says there's a difference between a cotton and a nochri. A cotton will automatically become by mitzvah on his own. And he will be osi the chlal shlichus. The nochri may decide to convert, but 51% of the nochrim in the world are not converting. Most of the nochrim are not interested in converting. Well, why should they want to convert? Life is easier if you're not Jewish. You don't have so many mitzvahs to be obligated to observe. So the Gemara draws this distinction between a katan and a nochri, that a nochri is not osir the chalal shlichas as opposed to the katan who will naturally become osir the chalal shlichas. So therefore the Gemara says, nehi the shlichas leislei, katan doesn't have shlichas, but zechiyah miya mid the rabbanon islei, and the other gears says zechiyah miya islei, because osir the chalal shlichas. So the two gears is the favorite in the Gemara, whether zechiyah on behalf of a katan, that's a wheat paskin, there is zechiyah for a katan, whether it works ben Torah or it only works midirabbanon. That's the Gemara that Tosis says. If not Gemara would appear that zechiyah is mitam shlichus, zechiyah is a form of shlichus, because the Gemara said that the reason why there's no zechiyah on behalf of a nochri is because there's no shlichus on behalf of a nochri. It should have really been the same by a katan. Just like there's no shlichus on behalf of a katan, so too there should have been no zichi on behalf of a katan, and it's an exception to the rule, perhaps only with the rabbanim. With the rabbanim, obviously, or if you hold me in a Torah, because really he is osir lechlal shlichus. He is a yeshdem b'torah shlichus. So that's the gemara that seems to say, Tosis has two gemaras in Bab Metzia. This is the one gemara in Ezel Neshech, and there's another gemara in Daf Yud Aleph in Bab Metzia. The gemara is talking about a kinyan chotzen. Also sounds like chotze min tam shluchai, so chotze can be kind of dover shal hefka because it's is a tzchus for the bala chotze to be kind of the dover shal hefka. He gains this this money. He gains the matan. So halacha l'maaseh, we paskin that there is zechiyah both for a katan and for a gadol, and there are two opinions in Tosfos whether the zechiyah on behalf of a katan works min haTorah or only works midirabbanan. Yeah. What about over here? The Mishnah has a machlekes for a meir and a chachamim to be mekabel a get on behalf of a woman. That for sure does not constitute an act of zechiyah. That's assumed to be a choiv hola isha. But to be mekabel a shtashir on behalf of a knani, that's a machlekes. A meir is not so convinced that it's a schus, and the chachamim think that freedom is so important. The concept that's certainly considered a schus. You had a Rashba in Kiddushin on Daf Chav Gimel, a famous Rashba that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Yeridei Chela Gimel in Hilchas Evet Kanani. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, they still had a Bodim Kanani. You can't have an Evet Ivri. Bisman Shein Ayayvel Noig, you can't have an Evet Ivri. But an Evet Kanani you can have on the plantations in the south in the days of the Civil War. Many of the owners of the plantations were Jewish, and they had a lot of Avarim Knainim. And the Avarim Knainim were Chayiv and Mitzvahs Kisha. So that's why they were half Jewish. So they used to give Jewish names from the Tanakh. Kolev and Joshua and Moses and all these kind of things. They were Chayiv and Mitzvahs Kisha. And then when Lincoln freed the slaves, so then Dina Machus Adina is Chala and Didi Mammonis. But then Mafkarav the Yotzel Acheris would Tzoch get Shichur. So you have to write to get Shichur. So the question is, did they all write to get Shichur for the Yavon? So Evet Kanani can have his manazah also. It's against the law. It's against the Dina Machus. But theoretically, you can have Evet Kanani. Evet Ivri, you can't have his man. Shani Yavon, no. The Gemara says you can't have an Evet Ivri. So in Yeridea, they still have Hilchas. We don't have in Yeridea Hilchas Evet Ivri because his manazah, the tour. The whole Shulchan Aruch is based on the Torah. The Torah already lived Bizman Shein HaYovel Noig. So you don't have any section in Shulchan Aruch about Hilchas Evet Ivri. Hilchas Evet Kanani they have. So they talk about it. So they quote this to Rashba from Kiddush and Daf Chav Gimel. The Rashba comes up with a Chiddush that even though the Gemara says in Chulin and in the end of Bava Basra, they may have you do an act of Zachan Liyadim Shalai B'fonav on behalf of someone else, and he finds out about it. He can be Moicha. He says, I don't want it. So he breaks up the whole Zechiyah. Let's say, I want to give a gift to my dear friend. He's not here, so I give you the gift. You pick it up. I want to make an Erev Echatzeres for everybody that they should all be allowed to carry in the hallway. He has everything to gain and nothing to lose. So you pick up the box of matzah on behalf of everybody. And then one of them gets upset and he says, when he finds out about it, that they made an Erev Echatzeres, I don't want to be Koine Shutvus, I don't want to have anything to do with that box of matzahs. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the Erev Echatzeres. So he says, no is no. So that he kills the Erev Echatzeres. Whenever he did an act of zachan on behalf of someone, and the person, when he finds out, says, "I'm not happy about it," so the Gemara says, "Higdili yichalim limchas." He break up the whole entity. He break up the whole application of the din of zachan. So the Rashba is mistapik to say. He says, if he weren't afraid to disagree with the Rif and the Rambam, Rabbi Yisov, and Rashi and Tosfos with everybody, he would have developed an idea. So it's quoted in Yeriday. This is the Shitas Rashba. That there'd be mekabalish tashichah for an Evet Kanani, according to the Rabbana, the Rameyer, is a schus gomer. It's such an absolute schus, it can even be done against the wishes of the Evet. Even if the Evet is screaming, I don't want to go free. So the Gemara says, if you give the tashichah to the Evet Kanani bifaneinu, if he's here, so just like you give me Megarish and Isha Balkorach, you can give me Meshachar and Evet Kanani Balkorach. What if the Evet Kanani is not here? So can you be Meshachar him Balkorach? So the Pashto, of course not. If I know that he's screaming, he doesn't want to go free, is nish. So the Rashba is mistapik to say that maybe yes. He's mistapik to say, if you did an act of zachan on behalf of the Evet Kanani, and later on he says he's not happy, he doesn't want to go free. Mistapik to say, lule de mistafin, he's not afraid to disagree with all the Rishonim. He would have said, you cannot undo this chus, and even if he's screaming, I don't want to go free. So I'll say Zachan Amishlaim Fana. I'll give the Shtashich with it. He's a Meshugana. He's screaming. We can't deal with him. Just give the Shtashich with it to someone else. And they'll pick it up on behalf of the Arkhaini. And he goes free. And goodbye. That's the end of it. Very strange. In the Tanoim and the Mishnah, Tzamach Legs Rameh Nachacham. So Rameh is not so convinced that you have pluses and minuses. Rameh is not so convinced that the pluses outweigh the minuses. He's not so convinced that it's his chus at all. The Chachamim disagree with Rameh. They say, no, the pluses do outweigh the minuses. So the Rashba comes along and he says, Ad kedei kach, it's considered a chus gomor. You can even do it bal korcha shel hed. Doesn't seem so in the Mishnah to say that it's kula schus, that it's such a schus gomor that he cannot even be moicha later on. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. Are there any cases where we would declare that accepting a get for the isha should be considered a schus for the isha? So in Ebenezer, at the end of Siman Aleph, it says that yes, and it's unfortunately it's a practice that's done in the Botadinim. Let's say the wife is not allowed to remarry till she gets a get from her husband. What if she runs off with a non-Jew? She never got a get from the husband. So every time she sleeps with a non-Jew, she's in violation of Lei Sinof. And she can't go back to the husband anyway because she's a Soita Asura Labayla. She's Mizana Beratzen. Hilan is Basel. She's a Soita Asura Labayla. So in such a case, she stands to gain everything and to lose nothing. So the Ramon, in the end of Siman Aleph and Ebenezer writes that the practice is whenever the wife ran off with a nachri, so the husband should quickly write a get and give the get to someone to be kainah to pick up in bizeicha on behalf of the isha, and that's considered for sure as chus. How did the Shulchan Aruch know? How did the Ramon know that there are exceptions to the rule? Maybe I should declare every get is always considered a choiv. So that's based on the Gemara in the Bavli in the end of Yevamos. The Gemara has a suffix. True, the din is that the get isha is usually considered a choiv. That's the Mishnah Yeral from the days. But the Gemara is mesupik. What if the husband is about to die and he has no descendants and his wife is going to need chalitza? So wouldn't it be in the best interest of the wife that the husband should divorce her? So you have a Mishnah. A lot of times the Mishnah talk about a man. A get shchiv merah. The man is about to die and he authorizes the sefer to write a get and give it to his wife. He's going to die anyway. So what does his wife need to get? She should be able to. She shouldn't have to sit shiva. Why is he giving his wife a get? To let her sit shiva. He loves her so much, he doesn't want her to sit shiva. That's why. So the pashtus is not because of sitting shiva. He doesn't want his almana to have an asik with chalitza. Sometimes it's difficult to get along with the brother-in-law. So sometimes he'll give her a hard time giving her the chalitza. So the husband, before he dies, wants to secure that, to solve that problem. He wants to give his wife a get. There was some Acharonim who raised an objection against this, that in the Chumash it describes a woman was married and the husband divorced her, then she married someone else. So Sneha Hoisha Acharon. And the second husband hates her, and also the Kasavu Lo Sefer Kriis. He also gives her a get, so Lo Yuchel Ba'ali Rishon Shishilcha Lashav Lekach Da'achar Yashavu Tamo. She's not allowed to be Machzik Rishosa. Not allowed to be married the first husband. So one of the Gedolim had a taina, which is utterly incorrect, that maybe the Halacha only allows a get Misina. But if he gives a get me'ahava, mitochahava, maybe that's not good. It's against all the Mishnayos. Mishnayos talk about the institution of a get shechiv merah. He loves his wife. He wants to spare her from the agony of having to need chalitza. That's what they did in the days of the Tanaim. Nobody says that. That's not good. That's ridiculous. A get me'ahava is also good. It doesn't matter what the grounds for divorce are. So from the Mishnah, one perhaps would have understood that a get is always considered a chayva. And that's how some Achrenim understood Yerushalmi, the Tosfos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Dima Maschal Begitei Noshim. Shalmi says, I can give you a case where a get is a schus, I can give you a case where the shtashichra is a chayva. So why did the Chachamim say that a get is always a chayva and the shtashichra is always a schus? So Shalmi sounds like perhaps it's saying, no, that's the halacha. Since most of the time a get is a chayva, so we always declare every get isha is a chayva and every shtashichr is a schus. That's how some Achrenim read the Yerushalmi, and they understood that this is a machlek, is the Bavli in the Yerushalmi. That the Bavli in the end of Yevamos raises this suffix. What about a mezake get l'ishto b'makom yavam? The husband is a shchiv merah, is about to die, and he wants to write a get to relieve his wife of requiring chalitza. So he writes a get, and his wife is not around as he's about to die. So he gives the get to someone else to be zeiche on behalf of the wife. So the Gemara is mesupik. Should I say that this is a schus for the isha? Or should I say, no, maybe she loves, maybe she has a crush on the Yavam. Maybe she would be happy to marry the Yavam. So the Gemara is not sure. But you see, from the Gemara's suffix, the only suffix is, does it appear to be a schus, does it not appear to be a schus? But if you have a situation where it's a vadai schus, then it would appear from the Gemara, then a chanami. A get can sometimes be a schus. But it says in the Mishnah, a get is always a chayiv. It means most of the time, 90% of the time, a get is a chayiv. 10% of the time, the woman is chalashim to have a get. It'll be a schus. But sometimes we have the right to assume that it is a schus. Yeah. The Yerushalmi is problematic. They're not so convinced that Yerushalmi meant to say that it's always like that. The Bir Agra quotes the earlier Achrayim from the Beis Yosef, who some of the Achrayim took it that it's a machlekes the Bav Yerushalmi. If it's machlekes the Bav Yerushalmi, so the Rif in the end of Erevin has a rule that we always pass on like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So we're going to pass on like the Bavli anyway. That whenever it'll be a case of schus, that you'll apply Zochen even to a get Nisha.
What is the case of an Eshes Kohen?
Yeah, that's what the Nesivis asks on the whole Mishnah here. Why is there a machlekes hatanaim, whether it's a schus or a chayva by the shtar sheikh or Rabbi Knaini? Why shouldn't we, even by the get, why shouldn't we say we should be zeicha the get on behalf of the woman, we should be zeicha the shtar sheikh on behalf of the Rabbi Knaini, and then we'll notify the isha, we'll notify the Rabbi Knaini that this get or the shtar sheikh was accepted on her behalf, and now she has the option of either choosing to become his gareshes or not. If she wants to become his gareshes, it'll be good. She doesn't want to, so in any case of zochin, whenever we notify the person, and the person from the very outset is Moichet, so he breaks up the whole Zochin. So why shouldn't I consider every get and every Shtar Shichra as an act of Schia? The party has the Isha, and every kind have everything to gain and nothing to lose. They have the Breira of saying that they're Moichet on the whole thing. So you see from the Mishnah, that's what the Nesivah says, and that's what the Ramban, and the Mohammed also points out, the last line in the Ramban on this Mishnah, you see from this Mishnah that in order to apply the principle of Zochin, the Yodim Shlai B'Fonov, it has to appear at the present, at the time that we're doing the act of Sri, it has to appear that we're doing him a favor. If it looks like if we're not so convinced that we're doing him a favor, if we're not sure whether it's L'Tevosai, then you don't begin to apply the rule of Zochin Li'Adam Shleim Mufan. You don't have the right to say, meanwhile, we'll do the act of Zochin, and then we'll see how it turns out later. If it turns out L'Tevosai, it'll be a schus. If it turns out not L'Tevosai, it won't be a schus. You see that? That's not so. It has to appear at the time that we're doing the act of Zochin, that we're really doing the person a favor. So let's say this is the Shaila. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that to convert a little infant, a non-Jewish infant, is based on the principle of Zochin Li'Adam Shelo B'Fonav. That is certainly the best interest of the child, to become Jewish, to have a whole way of Derech HaTorah. That's in the best interest of the child. Yeah. So most of the poskim in the recent years, after the beginning of the reform movement and the beginning of the movement of maskilim, so we have a new phenomenon that we didn't have for centuries and centuries. We never had such a thing. A Jewish person who's secular, a secular Jew. They never had such a thing, a secular Jew. He became a mishumad in Gabbai and good luck. He's not Jewish at all. Or if he was Jewish, he observed all the mitzvahs. We have people, most of the Jewish people, are very secular. They're not interested in converting out of the religion, but they're not observant. So if you have a secular Jew and he's going to adopt a baby and he's going to raise him as a secular Jew, is that considered a teiva for the baby? Just because he's Jewish, kol yisola yesh lam chelik yolam abo, because the child is going to go to yolam abo, so that's considered a schus. But the child's not going to be brought up with a Jewish education, so he's going to be punished for all of the averis that he does. So isn't that a chayva? Wouldn't it be better for the child not to be converted? Wouldn't it have been better that he should remain a non-Jew than to become a Jew and in violation of all the dinim? Or do you say no? All the violations that he does are b'shegig. He doesn't know. He won't know anything about Yiddishkeit. Everything will be b'shegig. So he has everything to gain and nothing to lose. Is that the case? So that was a big machlekes in the last 100 years. last 150 years. Is that considered the schus? Is that considered a chayim? The overwhelming majority of the rabbanim were of the opinion that non-observant parents who adopt a Jewish child, who adopt a child and they want to convert the baby, the overwhelming majority hold that that's not called a schus. That's not considered a schus. It's only considered a schus if the adopted parents are, they themselves are observant. They don't have to be 100% observant. They themselves are observant. And they plan to give the child, they commit themselves to give the child a Jewish education, some reasonable Jewish education, not just kindergarten or something, through high school, at least through high school. But if anything less than that, we assume it's not even considered a schus. And then when the child finds out, before Bar Mitzvah, when the child finds out that he was converted, then higdili yicholim limchas, like any other case of zochen l'rishlah b'fanam, that the person always has the right to be moichel later on. Here on this Mishnah, Rashi writes the same as the Rif, that even though the Rabban of the Rav Meir holds Zochen L'Ad Mishleh B'Fana, that someone can hold the Shtar Shichra on behalf of the Eved K'naini, and the Odon cannot back out. Any Ochalachsebo, yet the Odon cannot back out. But if the Shtar Shichra never reaches the hand of the Eved K'naini until after the death of the Odon, then the Eved K'naini does not go free. Because Ein Shtar L'Hamisa, that's the next Mishnah, that's on Yud Gimla, but I'll ain't shtar lahamisa. What happened to Zochn? What happened to Zochn Yodim Shlei B'Fanov? So the Rif and the Rashi sound as if they hold that Zochn Yodim Shlei B'Fanov only accomplishes that the Bailim, the Odon, cannot back out from the Shtar Shichra. The third party was Zochn the Shtar Shichra, that the Odon cannot back out, but Kolzman Shtar Shichra is not delivered to the Eved doesn't go free. So the Rishonim all ask, Tosis asks on Rashi, and the Ran asks on the Rif, that's impossible. And the Ran quotes that Gemara in the end of Yevamos, where the Gemara raises the possibility that the husband on his deathbed writes a get to his wife, and he gives it to the people who are standing by. And he tells them, Bizecha the get, I'm here for my wife. So the Gemara says, Hamazaka get lishtam and makam yov, and the Gemara has a teku. And he bought Lev Shita, maybe it's considered a schus, and maybe not. Maybe she has a crush on the brother-in-law. Maybe she would be interested in having Yibum. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rivosh that Bizman is that we don't permit anybody to have Yibum. So she has everything to gain and nothing to lose at all by having the third party be Zeicha to get on her behalf. Because you can't say maybe she really likes the other, maybe she'd be happy to do Yibum. We wouldn't permit them to do Yibum. So she's just going to need Chalitza. So we assume perhaps that Bizman is there for sure it's a schus. So that's the Gemara in the end of Yivamis. You see that in rare instances where it seems pretty clear and obvious that the receiving of the get is a schus for the Isha, then we would say, Zachon Yadam Shlei B'Fanav, we give the get to this third party, and the woman becomes Mizgaresh's taker from Yad. You don't have to wait till the get is handed over to the woman. She becomes Mizgaresh's immediately. So that's the Shaila. Why does it say over here? Why should Rashi and the Rif say over here that the whole Zoch and the Odom Shlei B'Fanav, according to the Chacham and the Rav Meir by the Shtar Shichra, is only relevant that the Odom Eini Yochel Lachzabo. The Odom is Eini Yochel Lachzabo, but not that the Eved goes free right away. How can it be? Of course the Eved goes free right away. So in order to answer this Kasha, the Rif is again, the Pshat of the Rif is against the Gemara in the end of Yivamis. So the Lecha Mishnah writes on the Rambam, in order to answer this kasha, so the Rambam gave a teretz to defend the Rif. The Rambam paskins like the Rif, that in normal cases the Eved is not Yotze L'Cheres until he actually receives the Shtar Shichra, and the whole application of Zoch Adam Shalei B'Fanav only means that it prevents the Yodan from backing out from the Get, but the Get doesn't take effect until the Shliach actually gives it to the Eved K'naini. What do you do with the Gemara in the end of Yivamis? So the Rambam distinguishes between Tein Shtar Shichra Zeli Abdi and Zechei B'Shtar Shichra Zeli Abdi. If he after, I'd say Zechei B'Zoche, then he's Zoche right away. He's Yotze L'Cheres right away. Hashem can just say Tein, then he's not Yotze L'Cheres right away. So that's already an Umdana. The difference over there, however you're going to explain it, that's all based on an Umdana. that Tein is not 100% Kischei. Kischei is more Zechei, and Tein is a little bit, Tein Kischei is a little bit, but not 100%. But Mikra Din, really, the Rif also agrees with the other Rishayim. That's the Beferish Gemara, the end of Ivams. The Rif is not going to argue with the Gemara. That if Zach Liyad Mishlevafano applies to a Get Shichra, applies to a Get Isha, so there'll be, she'll be, the Isha will be Mizgareshes, taken from Yad, and the Shta Shichra will be Chal, taken from Yad, immediately, it'll be Chal immediately. In discussing this then of Zachon Liyadnam Shalai Befanov, so we came across a tremendous chiddush in the Tosis in Azel Neshech, on that daf, where the Tosis has the two girsas in the Gemara, daf Ayin Aleph on the base, where the Zechiyah Lekoton works Ben HaTorah Midi Rabbanon. So the Tosis on that daf has the following. The Gemara says, since there's no Shlichas on behalf of an Ochri, therefore there's no Zechiyah on behalf of an Ochri, ain't Zechiyah La'akum. So the Tosis writes, not only is that true, if I give a gift to someone who's here to be zech on behalf of the Nochri, ain't zechil the Nochri, even if I am a Nochri, and I give you a gift, you're Jewish, and the one whom I want to give the gift to is also Jewish. But I'm a Nochri, so I give you a gift to be zech of a Ploini, so that's not chal, because ain't zechil the Nochri. So that's a problem. What do you mean, ain't zechil the Nochri? Ain't zechil the Nochri means if the Nochri is going to be mekabel the matana. Here the Nochri is the noise in Hamatonas. What has got to do Ein Tzchila Nochri? So you see that Tosis holds a Meiridik Echidish, that whenever I want to give a gift, I buy the box of matzahs from the store and I give it to the next. The name, the next neighbor picks it up, a tefach, and they have a mind to be kind of shutfas for all the Shemeshahs I live in. Now I'm going to move until next Pesach. Fine. So when I give it, it's considered as if I am appointing the next door neighbor as a shliach on behalf of all of the other people. So since I'm a Nochri, and there's no Shlichas L'Nochri, there's no Zechiyah L'Nochri, means I cannot appoint a Shliach, even though the Shliach is not going to be working on my behalf, the Shliach is going to be accepting the gift on behalf of the other 98 Shomer Shabbos and the tenants in the building. I'm one of the 99 Shomer Shabbos who doesn't live in this apartment. The fellow who lives here, there's no problem. I'm one of the 99 who don't live there, so I buy the box of matzahs, and the matzahs belong to me. So I give it to one of the other 97 families, and I say, pick it up and be kind of shoot for some on your own behalf, on behalf of all the Shem Shabbos who live here. So to be kind on his own behalf, that's his kin. The kind of behalf of the other 97 Shem Shabbos, so that's Zachon Liyadam Shalai Befanov. So in every case, the Tosis assumes, in every case of Zachon Liyadam Shalai Befanov, the one who is giving the gift to the middleman to be kind of for the next person is considered as if he's memana him as a shliach. That's a chiddush. That's a big chiddush. This is where the Tosis get this idea from. So the Nesiva said, quotes the Tosis, and the Nesiva says, is based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, B'chola terakula, the one who has the right to appoint the shliach is always the bailut. That's the klal that the Gemara has. Milsa de leisa de shlichas leisa de tanai. By get and by kiddushin, the husband can appoint the shliach lehailochas hakiddushin. Husband can appoint the shliach lehailochas haget. The wife can appoint the shliach lekabolas hakiddushin. A person who's a bailam, you need his das, you need his consent for the kinyan. So he has a bailus. He has a right to make a tanai, and just like he has a right to make a tanai, he has a right to appoint a shliach. Milsa deisa b'shlichas deisa b'tanai. By chalitza, the Gemara says, milsa de leisa b'shlichas leisa b'tanai. By chalitza, neither the Yavam nor the Yavama can appoint a shliach because they're not the bailam on the chalais. The din is when they perform the mitzvah of chalitza, then the halacha says that they were yaitza, they did the mitzvah, and maybe she's materis lehinasi lashuv. It's not that it constitutes a kinyan. Chalitza is not a kinyan. So the Gemara assumes that you cannot make a tanai. Neither the Yavam nor the Yavama has the ability to make a tanai. Neither the Yovam nor the Yavama has the ability to appoint a shliach to act on their behalf. Why are these two connected together? Milsa de isa b'shlichas de isa b'tanai. Milsa de leisa b'shlichas leisa b'tanai. Why is that so? So the Tosis writes in Ksuvis, this is not a chok, it's not a xeris hakosu. Just arbitrarily learned that from the parashas B'nei God of Neruven, that they were making tenoim over there, so it's chalukah sars v'zepshah ide shliach, so that's why it's efshar lahatal bo tanai. So Tosis says, no, it's a milsa de mistavra. It's a svara. What's the svara? If I'm a Balaam to the extent that I have the ability to appoint to Shliach, I'm also a Balaam, I have a right to be Matala tonight. Both of these dinim depend on Koyach HaBalaam. The one who appoints a Shliach, and Shluch HaShalodim Kamasa, he'll act on behalf of the Balaam. If I want to buy real estate, I want to sell real estate. So the one who wants to buy is the Balaam on his checking account. He's going to make out a check for $500,000. So he's a Balaam on the money. The other guy owns the real estate, he's a Balaam on the real estate. So each one has the ability to appoint a shliach to represent him. He's the Balaam on the real estate, he's the Balaam on the money. But if you have a situation where someone, I want to give a gift. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has all the people standing in line and he's giving out $2. So I'm going to send the shliach to represent me to be mekabel ha-matana from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What do you mean? I'm not a Balaam on the money. If I want to buy real, I want to buy something from the other ones, I'm a Balaam on the money. The one who's selling the merchandise, he's the Balaam on the merchandise. I'm a Balaam on the kish. See, either the moicher or the lekech has a right to appoint shliach. But if you're giving a matana, someone plans to give a matana, so the future mekabel matana, does he have the ability to appoint a shliach to act on his behalf? So we had it. So he said, right, to Dabar Parshat, of course he can. A mekabel matana has the ability to appoint a shliach to act on his behalf. And the Nesiva says, there ain't no such thing. And he quotes Ayurisham, and he quotes this Taisvis in Ezel Neshech. The only one who has the ability to appoint a shliach is the one who's the Balaam. That's what Taisvis said. Milsa deisa b'shlichas, isa b'tanai, milsa deleisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tanai. What's the Tara Shavit? What they have in common is that the ability to appoint a shliach is only the Balaam on the moment has the right to appoint a shliach. So Yushalmi asked, so how can a woman ever appoint a shliach l'kabolas aged? The get can have been given bal korcha shalo isha. Or the Abikanaini has the ability to appoint a shliach l'kabolas ashtar shichrur. But the Odin could have given the get to the Abikanaini bal korcha. That's how Gemara says. By the Abikanaini and the get isha, you can give it bal korcha. That's another story. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know that that's true? Where does it say in Chumash anywhere that the get can be given bal korcha? Some of the Achrayim, some of the Sfardish Achrayim, write that in the end of the Mesichta, there's a machlekes b'sham and misil, what are considered grounds for divorce. That's the very last Mishnah on Tzadik HaMad Aleph. What are considered grounds for divorce? So b'sham and say, lo yigar ishad mesishta elam kein motzabo dvar erva. Unless he quoted that she was mezana and she's asur al bailo, otherwise he's not allowed to divorce. So some Achrayim say, if he doesn't have such grounds for divorce, lo motzabo dvar erva, not only is it an avera to be megarisha, the get is not chal. The get is simply not chal. The Mishlam Melech is also a Sfardi, and he writes that it's not so. So one of the rabbis writes, well, it's a machlekes, three achrayim against the Mishlam Melech. Mishlam Melech has 100 votes. How do they compare to the Mishlam Melech? He knows how to learn. He can put all of the other achrayim in his pinky. So one of the rabbis writes in his doctoral dissertation, it was handed in over here for Bernard Rebel graduate school, he writes a machlekes, the Mishlam Melech, and three other achrayim. Three other achrayim, we never heard of them. Mishlam Melech, everybody knows. So Mishlam Melech says, of course the get is good bal korcha. That's not totally machlekes b'sham and b'sil. So how do you taka know that the get is good bal korcha? Who says what's the mocker? So this dechemet quotes from the achrayim, the mocker for that is in the Chumash. It says that a moitzi shemra and a ma'anes, oynes and mefata pei chamishim shekel kesef. So the oynes, they both, oynes and mefata, both pay chamishim shekel kesef, but there's a difference between the two. The Mishnah says in Ksubis, the one who is ma'anis, the girl, shoysa bat tzitzoy, he's mechuyev to marry the girl, if she wants to. She doesn't want nisht, but if she wants him to marry her, so he's mechuyev to marry her. Masha'eni kein, the mefata, ain't a shoysa bat tzitzoy. We don't force him to marry the girl. And the same thing by the Moitzu Shema, he's already married to the girl, so it says, it says by the Ma'anis and it says by the Moitzu Shem, he's not allowed to divorce her. So what does it mean he's not allowed to divorce her? If they both agree to get divorced, of course he can divorce her. He's not allowed to divorce her against her wishes. She says, I don't want to get divorced, and he says, I'm going to divorce you anyway. So if a get can't be given by Karcha, so what didn't he to get? What he need a din of the Chumash that he can't divorce her? She'll just say no, and that's the end of it. She refuses to accept the get. So he has that. He'll give it a get, she'll say, I don't accept it. So you see from the Chumash that a get is normally chal bal korcha shel isha, and over here there's an iser. So here there's an iser, so now there's a machloikas how to read this iser. We usually have a machloikas abai v'rova in the first parak of Tmura. Taisus on Yud Beis Amar Aleph refers to it. The Taisus dimamas ela dichsiv la selakit la'ani. So the Gemara Tmura has a machloikas abai v'rova. Milsa dar machmano lai savid. Yovid loy mehani or yovid mehani. When the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, you go ahead and you did it. So the Torah said you have no right to do that. So if you have no right, means you have no right to express das on that. So even if I express das, it's simply not chal. But the Torah says you have no right to express das. So yovid loy mehani. So maybe you shouldn't have the ability to bring about a chalos. Or should I say no, just the reverse. It must be yovid mehani. Whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, it must be that if you go ahead and you do it, it will bring about a chalos, because you're going to say loy mahani does not bring about a chalos. So what's the nature of the prohibition? What was the avera that he did? He went through a pantomime and nothing was chal. So that's a discussion there. The Shittim Kulbetzis and the other Rishonim have a discussion. Let's say the ma'anes divorces his wife and he violated the din. So would you say, according to that opinion in the Gemara, machlekes Abai v'Ravah, in two gears, who holds which way? Whether Abai holds the Yavad Lamahani or Ravah holds the Yavad Lamahani. So if the din would be, if the din would be Iyovid Loi Mahani, would you say that a man who divorced his wife, a ma'anes, who is married to his wife, then he divorces her against his wishes? So you say Iyovid Loi Mahani, and he's still married. You say the get is not chal. The other opinion will say it has to be Iyovid Mahani. Because if you're going to say Isal Gadat Iyovid Mahani, so what did he do? Why do you consider it out there? He went through a pantomime of giving a get, but if the get is not chal, Iyovid Mahani, so what's out there? And the other opinion holds not. It has to be Yavid Lamahani. It must be that the get is not chal. So the Gemara says, the ma'anes, the man who divorced his wife, and she doesn't want it, if she agrees to receive the get. So there's no prohibition on his part. V'yuchav v'shalcha means that she refuses to accept the get. So it says, the ma'anes, shegirish ishtoi, is chayv lahachzir. So how do you translate chayv lahachzir? He has to shtel l'chupa, he has to be mekadosh roll over again? Oh, no, the get is simply not chal. He has to just take it back. It just says if he's a Kohen, then he's not allowed to take it back. So why is he not allowed to take it back? But if you hold the Yovid Loi Mahani, the whole get is not chal. Unless you say that it's a Rech get, a Chiddush. That if a man gives his wife a get, then in a case where the get is not chal, so there's a Rech get, so if the husband is a Kohen, he's not allowed to live with his wife. So that's all Machlokes HaRishonim. How to read that Braisa in the beginning of Tmura. The Gemara has such a Braisa. Oinosh Yigiresh. Oynish Yigiresh is Chayv Lahachzir. What do you mean Chayv Lahachzir? Has the Shtela Chupa take her back, or just means no Shtela Chupa? He is married to her. Chayv Lahachzir has to take her back. And if he's a Kohen, he says he's not allowed to take it back. Not allowed to take it back because she's not taken his Garsha? Oh no, the get is not Chal. It's Yovid Lamahani. Get is not Chal. It's just that it's a Recha get. So that's a major machlokes how to read that Gemara.
According to the Rambam, says Panei Bav Nei Asa Zona. How can you ever have a case of a Kohen who's a Ones who marries her in the first place?
There's one Tana, Reb Lozer.
The Rambam passes by it.
The Rambam does not pass him like that. The Rambam passes him, there's an Issa L'Siya Kedesha. But Habal Pnir is over on the violation of the Yekodesh L'Siya Kedesha, but he doesn't say she becomes a Suvala Kohenim. No, the Gemara says we don't pass him like Reb Lozer. Leis L'chosh L'had Reb Lozer. Mar said we don't pass like Rav Lozer. Upon Abba Pnur is not the Magen Mishnah. There's a difficult Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam says, where is a source for this Rambam that Lasiya Kedesha means you're not allowed to have a girl who's a prostitute? That this is what she does for a living. Every day she sleeps with someone else and she's making money. What if she's living with this man for the last 50 years? They just never got married. So the Rambam says that's an avera deraisa of Lasiya Kedesha. So where is their source? They write with his masik on the Rambam. So where's the source for the Rambam that's an Issa? So the Magen Mishnah says the source is from this Tana, that one Tana holds in the Gemara, Rav Lozer holds in the Gemara, upon Habal Apnuya, Asor Zayna. So that's difficult. We don't pass like that Tana. The Rambam himself doesn't pass like that Tana. So that's a difficult Magen Mishnah. But the Rambam never said that. The Rambam says Adarab, upon Habal Apnuya, is not Asor Zayna Lakuna. It's just that it's an Issa Kadesha. They're not totally Zebazir. So again, we assume a davar pashut that a get bal koch is good, like the Mishnah Melech says, there's no machlek satanayim on that. Now how do we know that that's true, a get bal koch is good if you give the get directly to the Isha? So the Stechemet quotes the Achrenim, that's learned out from the Parsha of Moitzi Shema and the Parsha of Oynes. Then it says, L'yuchel l'shalcha kol yomav, and the prohibition only applies bal koch shal Isha. The woman agrees, she can't stand living with this Meshugana. So you're going to say she has to suffer? Lichal Lishal. So he has to suffer. We want him to suffer. We don't want to punish the wife. So if the wife agrees, there's no aver if he divorces her. So the pasuk goes, if the wife doesn't agree, and you see nonetheless that the get will normally be chal bal korcha shal isha. So the Gemara says that this too is learned out law meisha, that the shtashicha rabbi kanani can also be given. Bal korcha shal evit kanani, if you give it directly to the evit, if you give it based on zach and adashlai b'fanav, so then the pashtus of all the rishonim is that you cannot do zach and bal korcha shal evit, and the Rashba is the one who disagrees. He thinks that it's such a schus gomer, so you can even do it bal korcha, yeah. So getting back over here, the Tosfos in his own Neshach wrote a chiddush. If a Nochri wants to give a gift to a Jew, and he gives the gift to one Jew to be Zechem half of another Jew, so Tosfos says that that's not chal, because ein schia la'akum. So we usually understood, we always understood ein schia la'akum if the schia is on behalf of an akum. Here the schia, the Nochri is giving the gift, so what's wrong over there? So we started to explain that there is a requirement that the shliach, the Yerushalmi says, that the shliach must always be appointed by the Bala Momen. And the Kabbal Matana, who is interested in getting a gift from someone else, doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach in advance. That the Noisan HaMatana should give the Matana to the shliach. If the Noisan HaMatana wants to give a gift, then you'll apply Zochan Al Mishlei B'fana. But the Mekabal Matana has no right to appoint a shliach. So if you say... So the Yerushalmi says the only exception to the rule is get isha nishtashicha rabbi kanani lo la meisha. The get can be given bal korcha shal isha, nishtashicha can be given bal korcha shal evet. If you're giving it directly to the evet, you can give it bal korcha. You're not lo la meisha. And even though they're not bailam on this chalois, you can do it against the wishes. You don't need the das of isha, and you don't need the das of rabbi kanani. But nonetheless, the Gzeres HaKosu says v'shilach v'shilcha, v'shilach melam shabalo is a shlich, v'shilcha melam shaisha is a shliach. The Isha has the ability. So the Yerushalmi says that's a Gzeres HaKosav. That's an exception to the rule. The rule usually is that a Shliach must be appointed by the Bala Momen. That's how Tosfos understood the whole din. Milsa Disa B'Shlicha Seisa B'Tanah. Whoever is called the Bailim on the Momen has the ability to appoint a Shliach. Whoever is the Bailim has a right to be Matal Tanah. If you're not a Bailim, you can neither appoint a Shliach nor can you be Matal Tanah. So the fact that the Isha, the get can be given to the Isha Bal Korcha, nonetheless the Isha has the ability to appoint the Shliach the Kabbalah Zaget, or the get could have been, the Shtashich could have been given to the Evik Naini Bal Korcha if he's here in person. And the Evik Naini has the ability to appoint the Shliach to be Mekabel Get on his behalf. That's Kula Chiddush, that's the Gzeres HaKosav Vishilcham Alam Asher Isha Isha Shliach, that's the one and only exception to the rule. So what's over here? The Gemara sounds like it says in a few places that Zechiyah is a form of Shliach. So who's appointing the Shliach over here? So the Pashto says, the Halacha declares, the Torah declares that the Zoiche has a right to act as the Good Samaritan, to serve as a Shliach for the Mekabel HaMatana. So the Taisa says, no. The one who's appointing the Zoiche as the Shliach on behalf of the Mekabel HaMatana is the Noisan HaMatana. The one is giving the matana. So if the one is giving the matana is a nochri, so we apply a rule ein zechia le nochri. Why not? Because ein shlichas le nochri. The Gemara says, why is ein zechia le nochri? Because zechia is a form of shlichas. Ein shlichas le nochri. So the one is making the minu hashlichas really is the bala mamon, not the mekabel matana. Mekabel matana can't appoint the shliach. It's the bala mamon who wants to give the gift. He's the one who's appointing the zeicher as a shliach on behalf of the Mekabel HaMaton. So that's called Shluchah Shal Bal HaMom. It's a fantastic Kiddush in the Tosfos. There's the Nesibis quotes that Tosfos, and he says this Tosfos is based on this idea that appears in the Yerushalmi. The Nesibis quotes it from a secondary source. He doesn't quote the Yerushalmi there in Simen Kuf Peches, wherever it was, Melchah Shluchim. He quotes the Nemuki Yosef on a Mishnah on the first parak in Bab Metzia, who in turn the Nemuki Yosef quotes a Ran. The Ran says like that, but the Ran clearly got it from the Yerushalmi that in order to be able to appoint a Shliach, you have to be the Bala Momen. It has to be Shlucha Shal Bala Momen. So that's what we were discussing in connection with Tofis Le Bal Chayv. Tofis Bal Chayv means like this: I owe $50 billion to everybody, but I don't have $50 billion of assets. I have a few thousand dollars of assets. So you have a friend, I don't owe you a penny. But you have a friend who was out a couple of million dollars, so you want to grab my piano on behalf of your friend. Yeah, but I owe other people more money than your friend. So if your friend would be here, he would grab. So he's typhus on his own behalf. But you want to be typhus on behalf of your friend, and it's to the detriment of other Bali Chayvis, that by your being typhus for your friends, that the other Bali Chayvis is going to lose out. So the Gemara calls out, HaTayfis LaBachay V'makam Shachav LaChayri. If I only owe money to your friend, I don't owe money to anybody else. And they see that I'm burning all of my assets. I'm writing them over to my wife and to my children, and I'm gambling everything away. I'm using all of my money. I'm spending it. I'm drinking. I'm aggravated. So then, Teufis Lebalcha B'makam Shalom Chav LaChayrim. If I'm not causing a hefset to anybody else, the Gemara seems to assume that that's legitimate. Teufis Lebalcha B'Kona. Teufis Lebalcha B'makam Shalom Chav LaChayrim. That's like Kona. Why is the difference? Why does it make a difference? B'makam Shalom Chav LaChayrim LaChav LaChayrim. So there's a Tshuvas Harif that's quoted in the Chosha Mishpat. That really mitzadik redin typhus labachayv should never work, but if it's loichav lachem, they made a takana the rabbanon that it should work. Why is mikra redin shouldn't? Why is mikra redin should never work? See, we had the tzais quoted the Pnei Yeshua, a typhus bachad makam shachav lachem loikon is because ain't shaliach ledvar averu, because this guy has no right to be misaber al riv lo. He gets involved in an asik that's none of his business. I owe money to a million people. So you decide, you're a good friend of one of the million people. You decide you want to be zecher the piano on behalf of your friend. So you walk off with the piano. So you have no right to favor your friend over anybody else. So that's an aveira on your part. That's misaper al riv loy loy. So the Pnei Yeshua, quoted by the Tzai, says that's the reason why it's no good. Tavis b'chav l'shachav l'acherim. L'chav l'acherim makes it into an aveira. But if it wouldn't be chav l'acherim, then it would be zach niyad m'shloy b'fana. That's how the Pnei Yeshua says. So the Tzai thinks that that's not correct. That's not ain shaliach ledvar avera only applies if it's an avera to the mishaleach. Over here, it's only an avera on the part of the shaliach. Then he misaber al riv lo lo. If the mishaleach, if the person to whom I owe the money, if he would have come and grabbed on his own, he wouldn't be doing any avera. He has a right to grab for himself. It's only because you're getting involved. You're not one of the bali dvarim over here. So it's only an avera from your perspective. It's not an avera to mishaleach. So the tzais thinks that that's not covered with the rule of ein shaliach ledvar. So what's wrong with tovus b'chamach shachav lachem loikana? So some of the achrayim hold really like this riff. Tovus b'chamach should never work because the shliach zechiyah is based on shlichus, and the shliach has to always be appointed by the bala mamon. The bala mamon is the nisin. So if I have a gift, I want to give it to Pliny. He's not here, so I give it to you to be zechiyah for Pliny. So then you say I'm the bala mamon. I appoint you as the shliach. If I'm spending all of my money and you're grabbing the piano for your friend, I never gave it to you. So you're not shlucha shel bala mamon. That's why it doesn't work. I said, why does the Gemara just say mokum shachav lacher? Atavis b'chem should never be any good. So that's what the Rif says in Achanam. He's talking never any good. It's only good when the Rabbanon, the takana, he made a takana that if it's loy chav lacherim, mokum shenachav lacherim, then it's good.
Why is the b'chem of bala mamon? He could do it himself. Shouldn't he be considered a bala mamon that somebody could be sorry for him?
That's the machlekes Rashi in Taisis. Taisis quotes the Rashi from Ksubis that if the Baal Chayv would have appointed him as a shaliach, then it would have been good. The whole din of Taisis Baal Chayv is only because he didn't appoint him as a shaliach. And Taisis says that doesn't make any sense. They claim they have a raif in the Gemara that it's not correct. So the Chori, I think that's the machlekes Rashi in Taisis. The fact that the Baal Chayv has a shibu nechosim on all the property of the loive, does that make him into a bala mamon? Because shibu nechosim means a kinyan lechatzayin. Or do you say no? A kinyan lechatzayin, that's not enough to be called a bala mamon. If he would be here, he would have the ability to be typhus for himself. But he's not here, so he's not enough of a bala mamon that he should have the right to appoint the shaliach. I think Rashi holds he is a bala mamon, and Taisis holds not. That's the machlekes.
We said the machlekes between the Chazanish and the Jews that hold that shlichus is chal. If there's an avera, what happens? Is it chal or not chal?
Yeah.
So it's mishum the ktsoris to speak about that it doesn't work because then shlichus is an avera. Mishum would work only if we say that the whole mice is not chal. Meaning, after the Baal Chol Makum Shal Achayim, it won't be good only because the whole case is not chal. So they hold like the Chazanish and the Jews.
Right. That premise itself is questionable. So that whole plain issue is questionable on two levels. Maybe the whole thing is wrong for two different reasons. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll get at it tomorrow. We'll do that.